Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
We came from a small market, and so we had to learn this skill to grow. And the people in the bigger markets just never learned it, so we built the muscles, and it makes us really competitive when we go into a market.
Over the past two decades, Matthew Davis has challenged some of the most deeply held assumptions about how professional service businesses are supposed to grow. In this episode, Matthew opens up about the moments that forced him to think differently, the systems he put in place when conventional wisdom wasn't enough, and the mindset that kept him moving forward, even when the path wasn't clear. He also gets candid about what most independent professionals get wrong when it comes to measuring their own progress, and why that blind spot can be so costly. There's a thread running through this conversation about the value of surrounding yourself with the right people, the right frameworks, and the right questions at the right time. And underneath all of it is a surprisingly practical philosophy about how to build something that lasts without losing sight of why you started. If you're running a solo or small professional services business and you're wondering whether there's a smarter way to operate, this conversation might just reframe how you see the road ahead. Now let's welcome Matthew Davis. Matthew is an attorney and entrepreneur that led his solely owned firm, Davis Business Law, through over 1,000% growth over 10 years, making it one of very rare law firms ever to make the Inc. 5000 list. With over 25 years of experience helping business leaders with their legal and entrepreneurial matters, Matthew now teaches them how to deal with their vulnerabilities so they can capitalize on their opportunities through his firm's proprietary, strong protected business system. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here, and good morning. I'm from Texas today. I'm an Okie, but I'm down here south of the Red. So
great to have you on. So you broke off from the law firm that you worked at to practice solo from your living room almost 20 years ago, which was not all that common in those days. Nowadays, maybe things are different, but back then, not so much. What was behind that bold move?
I realized that I had no marketing, but I was still busy. So I didn't need to work in a law firm. And we had a nice big room, and I had five kids under 18 then. And it was kind of fun to go do that. So, and they really weren't much of a bother. So I did that for 6 years and stayed busy and did well. And then I had a midlife crisis and started a law firm. So
what was behind that?
I had one client that grew to 40% of my business, and they kept giving us more locations, and they kept giving us more locations. And I was just really nervous because I didn't have the support to grow. I had some of my friends working for me part-time, but you know, I was the sole breadwinner for a family of seven, and it's not a very comfortable place to be if you're paying attention, because I didn't have a way to replace that client.
And you seem to find a mechanism for growth that was unusual, right? As I mentioned in the introduction, you ended up on the Inc. 5000 list. What did you do in your own business that ended up changing things? So not only were you perhaps more stable, but also growing fairly rapidly.
Well, my hometown is where I live, and it's in a small city in northern Oklahoma. So for New York, think like Rome or Utica or something, okay? And we learned how to branch out to other cities. So we're about to open a branch in Houston. That'll be our 10th branch. And we learned how to use digital marketing to break in. And then we take good care of our clients so they keep coming back. But I need to find some wood to knock on, but we're pretty seasoned digital marketers. We pay attention to it. and manage it really aggressively. And, you know, there's some towns like Austin, you would think that the people would be, and the, you know, our competition would be good marketers, and they're not really. Oddly, Denver is, they're pretty sophisticated, but Austin, I think there's just so much business to pick up that they haven't developed the strength. And so it's, maybe if you look at it this way, we came from a small market, and so we had to learn this skill to grow. And the people in the bigger markets just never learned it, so we built the muscles, and it makes us really competitive when we go into a market.
So talk to me about this digital marketing strategy.
We pay a lot of attention to Google. We've spent a lot of time understanding analytics, a lot of time understanding keywords, a lot of time understanding Google My Business, which is part of it. We have an intense knowledge of how Google works, and it's just because we've put in the time and the hard work to understand it, and it generates a lot of business for us. That's how we crack into a market. And, you know, we've worked hard on it, and we've built our authority, you know, I get quoted all the time because we go to help a reporter out. So I'll be quoted every, you know, in the Phoenix Business Journal or the, you know, I'll be in some national publications too. And our podcast strategy makes the Google happy, because when I show up on a esteemed podcast like yours, they'll go, oh, he has some authority. So our authority score is really pretty high. I have one friend of mine, I think he's a mutual friend of ours, that has one, he's the only one I know with a higher score than us, but I'm getting after him. It's because he's on CNN all the time.
Well, that can do it.
Yeah.
Now, what kinds of marketing methods do attorneys typically use?
The standard method is going to be in networking. You know, we were just at the Travis County Women's Bar Association meeting, which is Austin. And, you know, people go there, but they're meeting, guess what, with attorneys looking for referrals. You're going to see people in Rotary clubs or Kiwanis clubs or Ambucks, clubs like that, and country clubs, churches. You know, most attorneys get their business through their friends.
Right. Word of mouth referrals.
Word of mouth. And we're not afraid to raise our hand on the internet and say, hey, look at us over here. But yeah, the standard is old school, which is effective but slow. Nothing wrong with it. We just do it differently.
Okay. So let's talk about how this might apply to other professional services. Right? For in our audience, in our community, is primarily solo professional service businesses, very much like yours mm-hmm. was when you started out.
Yeah.
And I would say that the vast majority get most of their business through word of mouth referrals.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some of them do have a fair amount of digital presence, but it's not the primary lead generation engine for them.
Okay. The first thing, if you want to use digital marketing, the first thing you want to do is start measuring qualified leads per day. And if you don't do that, you're just going to waste a whole bunch of money. And we are really reluctant to use digital marketing agencies because there is a tendency for them, that's me being charitable, to throw a lot of data at you and show you all this great stuff, which I can always pick something great out of Google Analytics and say, look at all this traffic, I'm getting you this and that. But you know, if you're not getting qualified leads out of it, you're just wasting your money. The way we've learned digital marketing is through YouTube. Well, we'll get books and we read books, but we keep up on things by going to YouTube and watching free videos and then implementing strategies we learn there. And, you know, it takes a while, but for us, it really pays off. And so my cousins over here in Fort Worth, and I was talking to him. They own a rather large trash company because Dallas-Fort Worth has a lot of private trash pickup. And we went all through their marketing. That's the same advice I gave him, is let's start measuring qualified leads, and then we're going to – it's hard in the trash business to really build a content strategy, right? But if, you know, if you're a professional, if you're an accountant, if you're a doctor, or, you know, or a dentist or an engineer or an architect, you can build a content strategy. And there's some great tools for doing that. And frankly, AI makes it a lot easier these days.
Yeah. What are your favorite tools?
We have used a tool called Surfer AI, which we use for content. It cut our blog writing from probably 3 or 4 hours per blog down to about one. You still have to correct it, but it's a good one. You know, if you're doing content, podcasts are a great content strategy, and Help a Reporter Out is a great strategy. I think they changed the name of that here recently. My daughter handles that for us and just sends me quote requests. So I submitted one to Fast Company this morning and don't know if they'll publish it, but they might.
Who on your team is involved in the digital marketing work, since you don't, you tend not to outsource any of this?
No. My daughter does some of it, and she's very clever. She's, you know, she was a National Merit Scholar, just cold turkey, didn't even study. So nice to have her around. And then Jamie, who's our firm administrator, they like to remind me she's really my adult supervisor. She runs all the metrics, and we pay a lot of attention to metrics and lead attribution, to the extent that we've worked with a few marketing companies over the years, and they're sort of bewildered at the extent to which we measure things. They're like, nobody does this. And we're like, we do, and that's why you're fired. So, because we know you're not performing.
Yeah. Well, one of the questions I like to ask is, what's your measurement of success?
You know, I wish you'd asked me that in 40 days, because we're going to one of my dear friends, Brooke Lively, and I'll plug her there. She writes a lot of law firm management and scaling books. She has a fractional CFO company, and we're having our yearly meeting with Brooke, because we've grown so much and so fast that we're taking a pause and going, okay, what are we going to do with this company? Because we've got to make a decision. So I'm trying to decide what success looks like. You know, the goal for this year is to take it to 40 attorneys, and then we're going to decide if we're going to go bigger. I'll have that decision made in 40 days.
Yeah. Awesome. Can we talk a little bit about AI?
Sure.
Because one of the things that I'm hearing a lot from people in our audience and also from our community members is, I'm going to say, bewilderment about how AI is going to change the landscape, particularly when it comes to content strategy and digital marketing, because people are questioning whether SEO is going to play a role, or how much of a role it may play in the future. Since you can now search using AI rather than traditional search like a Google search, how do you think that is going to change digital marketing?
I am prepared to be wrong, and I'm watching it closely, but I think it's grossly exaggerated. We are not worried about AI at all. A lot of my friends and colleagues in couple law firm owner groups that I'm in are pretty alarmed by it. And we have not seen any change in our marketing volume. And now, of course, we're at the advent of AI, of the AI revolution. So we're watching it. But we've found a lot of the predictions about AI to be grossly exaggerated. Frankly, AI is making us an enormous amount of money right now, because we have numerous cases where our clients have hired co-counsel for us named ChatGPT, Claude, or Grok. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was talking to Alex two nights ago, and he said, I'm spending so much time just explaining to my clients why all the strategies they came up with through AI don't work on this case. Okay. So going back to your main question, AI is going to change digital marketing. I think it's exaggerated. I do Google searches, or, you know, and I'll have my wife do ChatGPT searches in markets that we're in. We still show up. And one of the services we use to measure internet product or productivity or effectiveness, they have a little thing that measures, you know, how well we're showing up on AI, a gadget or a widget or whatever. And, you know, we show up pretty well. So it's worth measuring, but if you manage it, I don't think it's going to be a huge revolution.
Okay. Fair enough. And we'll see how things play out.
Yeah. I'm good at being wrong. I could be 100% wrong. So.
And, you know, one of the things that I'm hearing from you is that you're very careful about what metrics are important. So you'll be watching the metrics anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll adjust, and that's the trick. It's, you know, the price of success is constant vigilance to borrow. Who was that? That was, I think, Thomas Jefferson paraphrased there. So, mm-hmm.
Matthew, I want to ask you a little bit about your decision-making process. You have broken new ground in your own business strategy. Sounds like in many ways and multiple times, which means you've had to make decisions that other people might question. When you've been in situations where you're trying to decide what path to take, what's your process for going through that, the decision-making process?
We're very collaborative with our leadership team, and I'm really fortunate to have Jamie and Tricia, both of who started as receptionists with me like 20 and 25 years ago. And so I rely real heavily on them. We did have a great COO, and he rather inconsiderately died 2 years ago. So we're looking for his replacement. He was a bird colonel from the Air Force JAG Corps, and great, great lifelong friend of mine. But we do that, and we're big devotees of course, Jim Collins's work. Not only good to great, but all the way through. Plug on that. Here's the secret with Jim Collins. He reissued Beyond Entrepreneurship and as 2.0. And at page 125, he says, look, here's a summary. I finally figured out all of my research is really one 35-year research project. And here's the summary, guys. That's at page 125 of Beyond Entrepreneurship 2.0. I have a tacked up on the wall next to my desk. We've learned a lot from Collins's work, and I'll tell you what, it really does instruct our decision-making, you know, in questions like, is this us, you know, firing bullets and cannonballs? Are we doing a 20-mile march here? Do we have the right people in the right seats on the bus? So we've got a lot of wisdom from him, and also Vern Harnish. We run Scaling Up instead of EOS, and I've worked with both of them. But if you looked at our gurus, it would be those two. And then Mike Michalowicz instructs us a lot with really Fix This Next is my favorite of all his books. And we're readers and learners, and it makes a difference.
Yeah. When you are facing a decision where you don't have the right kind of knowledge or support internally in your team, where do you go externally for peer support or trusted thinking partners?
My posse in the law business is going to be the EO Lawyers Group. So you'll be familiar with Entrepreneurs Organization. Oh, yeah. And we have a forum that's just law firm owners. And we meet in person for 3 times a year now. And then we meet several times. We've got a meeting next week. So if I'm looking for my ownership or for advice, you know, I mean, we have at least a LinkedIn friend in common named Corey Kupfer. Mm-hmm. And I have learned so much from Corey. And he's got a little bit of a big head because he has a standing slide at our firm meetings. It's just called the Kupfer slide. And it's like Kupfer wisdom. So,
you know, he's a very smart guy.
Yeah, genius, genius.
What is it about the EO process that you find works really well?
Local forum wise, it's getting to share that 5%. And I've got an EO forum meeting in Oklahoma City today. So 10 o'clock, I'm going to drive up there. It's 3 hours. And that's really useful to me, for me to just stop, clear my head. This is the 5% and helps me reposition and understand I have friends, you know, really close friends who I go through that with. The lawyers forum is similarly great, but also more specific to the challenges we face running law firms. And yeah, we owe a good deal of our success to groups like that. And in particular, the EO lawyers. I mean, I've learned a ton from Kupfer and Romano and Lou Licata over in Cleveland. So really great friends and great support for me.
Yeah. Matthew, what suggestions would you have for somebody who is running a solo business who hasn't found their tribe, like an EO forum or some other group?
EO is a great place to start, you know, and most of the EO chapters will have, what do they call them? I call it baby EO. There's a more, you know, professional name for it, but it's for smaller businesses. EO is great. You know, a lot of people get value out of BNI and those sort of networking groups. But, and you know, here's another thing that's great. A lot of the consulting companies, like there are groups, there are law firm consulting groups like Ben Glass, who I absolutely love, and his son Brian. They have a group called Great Legal Marketing, but it's also a coaching group. If you're starting out, how to manage a small law firm is an example. And there's groups like that that are consulting groups that build, you know, that build posses. So when I had my midlife crisis, I joined How to Manage a Small Law Firm and was in that for 3 years. And I made friends all over the country that I still talk to. I know we refer business back and forth.
Yeah. No, these are really important points. Matthew, we've covered a lot of your history, and thank you for sharing some great strategies today. If someone wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed or access any resources you have or get in touch with you or somebody on your team, where's the best place to go?
Davis Business Law is the website, and my email, and I'm one of those guys, I have like 8 emails in my inbox, so I keep it clean. And it's mdavis@davisbusinesslaw.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Matthew. Thank you for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateaus. Share some great insights. My guest today has been the CEO of Davis Business Law, Matthew Davis. Thank you, Matthew, for joining us.
Thank you.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the Smash framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.